You want to be out by 10. So this is September 15th, 2014. We're going to discuss insights into the Musar Rosh Hashanah davening. So probably as usual, a lot of my sources came from YU Torah. I just put in Musar Rosh Hashanah. A number of shurim came up. We'll see at the end. I saw that it was also written up in Harei Kedem in Rav Shurkin's Sefer. And so let's see if we can discuss some of the structure and some of the themes. Some things I'm sure you know about, but hopefully there'll be stuff here that's new. So the jump off for the discussion is actually the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Bet, where the Mishnah discusses the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, where to place the bracha of Malchias. Some background. On a normal Shmon Esrei of Shabbos and Yontif, there are seven brachos. Three in the beginning, three at the end, Shavach, Hodah, and one bracha of Kedushas Hayom in the middle. On Rosh Hashanah, we have an additional three themes, three brachas that we want to get in, Malchias, Sechonos, and Shofros. So normally that would be 7 plus 3. We should have just a 10 bracha Shmona Esrei. But we'll see that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri agree that that's not the case. We're not going to have a 10 bracha Shmona Esrei. We're only going to have a 9 bracha Shmona Esrei. That means you're going to have to combine two brachos. But there's a machlokes, which one, you know, what do you combine? Everyone says it's going to be Malchios, but it's either going to be Malchios with Kedushas Hayom, Rabbi Akiva, and that's what we do in our Shmona Esrei, right? But we're going to see Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri put the bracha of Malchios into the bracha of Kedushas Hashem, the third bracha, the last bracha of Shebach, of, you know, Avos, Gduros, and then Kedushas Hashem. He put Malchios there, kept Kedushas Hayom by itself, then went along with Zichronos and Shofros. So we're going to have to discuss exactly why, what was pushing, or possibly give a suggestion, what was pushing Rav Chaimenu, Rabbi Kivi, you know, what's the at the Nukudat HaMachloket over there? Why was one saying one over the other? And but then I might also jump to say what was pushing them not to, just as some side points, really, why couldn't there be just a 10 bracha Shmona Esrei? So to answer that question, why there wasn't going to be a 10 bracha Shmona Esrei, an idea again of Rav Soloveitchik, which he mentioned from the Gemara in Brachos. If you look in the Gemara in Brachos, this is, I didn't number the sources, but it's on page 1, where it says Daf Chav Ches, towards the bottom, second to last source on the bottom. And there, it's talking about, it's giving, it's asking, what is the paradigm? How do we know, let's read it, Shmona Esrei Kenegan Mi, the bracha, 18 brachas of Shmona Esrei, what is that paralleled after? What is, you know, where did we come up with the number 18? So Amar Apilo Bereid Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Kineged Shmona Esrei Askaria Shomo David in Tehillim Chavtes Bahavu Lashem Bnei Elim. He mentions in that Tehillim Chavtet, he mentions Yudke Vavke 18 times. So there we already have a paradigm in Tanakh of an 18 sort of bracha tefila. So therefore we have, the Rav wanted to say, we have a matir to then say 18 brachas and Shmona Esrei. That was the key. He says that for man to approach Hashem in tefillah, he needs a matir. Who are we to approach Hashem? But we say we're doing it because David somehow did it with his Mizmor of Tehillim Chav Tet. He mentions Hashem's name 18 times, and that somehow is a model and a matir for us to then go ahead and make an 18 brachas Shmona Esrei. What about 19? When we added Balmal Shninim, the Gemara continues. So what's the model after that? Keneged Mitik Nuha. And then he wanted to say the same Tehillim, but instead of Yud saying Yudke Vavke 18 times, there's also the word kel hakavet herein. There's the word kel, and if you add kel, which is another shame of Hashem, that can get you 19, so you can use that also as a model. But you see, and then let's continue. It says, the last on that source, hine sheva de shabta keneged me. What's the seven brachos shemayin esrei on Shabbos? Who is it keneged? And quotes, it was a shira from David, from that same Mizmor, where it says the word kol seven times and the kol Hashem, and so therefore that could be the model. And what about the nine brachos shemayin esrei on Rosh Hashanah? Who's that paralleled after? Last line on that on the first page. Keneged tisha askarish amr chana b'tfilata. Chana, when she thanked Hashem after having Shmuel, then she said a tefillah which had Hashem nine times Hashem's name in her tefillah, so we can model a Shmoneh Esrei of nine brachos after that. But you see that we can't just come up, there was no model in Tanakh, I guess Chazal felt, of a 10 bracha Shmoneh Esrei. So therefore they were forced, since there is no model, we have to be forced to only do a 9 bracha. Chana is the only one. We have 18, we have 19, we have 7, we have 9. We don't have 10. So therefore, the Rav explained, that's what was forcing them to say that we can't have on Rosh Hashanah a 10 bracha Shmoneh Esrei, because that would have been the easiest. Now we have to make it down to 9. Now there's going to be a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Yochanan ben Nuri. Which two do you combine?
Does that assume that 6 is a minimum? Meaning you're having the first 3 brachas and the last 3 brachas are consistent throughout.
Right.
Every Shmoneh Esrei. So okay. Then, is that just a given that those...
I guess that was in a different part of... Every Shmoneh Esrei needs Shevach, something in the middle, and Bakasha. But you always have to start, I guess it's saying, with Shevach, begin with Shevach and end with Bakasha. I mean, Hodah, I apologize. Shevach and Hodah at the end. And, but...
No, because I'm saying, minimally you could say 3. You just say that there's 1 bracha at the beginning of a Shevach, and then there's 1 bracha at the end of a Hodah, and there's 1 bracha in the middle, and you're just adding something.
Right. Right?
That's your bakasha in the middle of 3.
Right.
So then the numbers need, it seems to me that the numbers need more than just some sort of asmachta and a pasuk in Tehillim, that there is a requirement of this structure. So you have the number of structures for tfilos, 3 tfilos, is based on either on the Trubanos or something else. So I'm just curious if there's more.
Yeah, Havineno, which is one bracha.
Right, Havineno is a miniaturized
bracha. Right.
Well, so that takes place of just the bakasha, though, Havineno.
Oh, yeah? Still have the 3 and 3?
Yeah.
What?
Havin is the consolidated
of the 18 in the middle of the 13 in the of the 13 in the middle. Okay, so now let's start with source 1 on page 1, which was again a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Bet. So let's say it says Seder Bracha Omar. What do you say? You say Avos, Ugvuros, Ukdushas Hashem. You say the first 3 of Shevach. This is going to be Rav Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion. The kolel malchios, and then malchios imohen. A malchios is going to be combined with the last bracha, kedushas Hashem. Okay, hamelech hakadosh. Ve'eno tokeya. And we don't blow, even though we're saying malchios right then, combining it with the 3rd bracha of the Shmoneh Esrei, we don't blow shofar after that malchios. Then we say, however, we say the Kedushas Hayom. That's going to now stand on its own according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. And it's after the Kedushas Hayom, that's when you're going to blow the first time. You're going to blow. And then it's going to continue. You're going to go to Zichronos and you're going to blow. Okay, a Shofros and you're going to blow. And then you do the last 3 at the end. Voma Voda, Vahodo, Birchus Kohanim, Divrei Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So again, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says you're going to say the first 3 brachos. But all of a sudden, in that 3rd bracha, that's where you're going to combine Malchios. You're not going to blow, and then you'll have Kedushas Hayom on its own, blow Zichronos, blow Shofros, blow. However, Rabbi Akiva then asks on him something, a very enigmatic statement. It says, "Eino tokeya l'malchios, lama hu maskir." The Gemara is going to try to explain that. It says, if you're not blowing when you're saying Malchios, right after that 3rd bracha, Rabbi Yochanan, you say you don't blow then why even mention Malchios at all if you're not blowing the shofar? Ella, what should you do? How should you combine it? And this is our machzor. Omar avos ugvuros ukdushas Hashem. Start with the 3 from Sheva, and then combine Malchios and Kedushas Hayom into 1 bracha. V'kol malchios im Kedushas Hayom. That would be 1 bracha, and then blow. after that. Zichronos and blow, shofros and then blow, and then finish off the rest of the Shmoneh Esrei, the other three brachas of Shmoneh Esrei. So the Gemara. Amalo Rabbi Akiva, im eno tokei lamachias lamahu maskir. So the Gemara asks, what does that question mean? Lamahu maskir. What are you asking? What are you saying? Just because you're not blowing, why you shouldn't mention the psukim, the bracha of malchios? Rachmana ame idkar. You'll see a little further on in this Gemara, there's going to be psukim for malchios, zichronos, and shofros. So you see, it's based on a drasha or a smachta, that why we should push you to say the psukim. So even though if you don't blow, there's psukim. That's why you should say the psukim, the brachos of Malchus, even though you're not blowing. That's the, so Ella, no, this is what Rabbi Akiva meant. He didn't mean why you not, don't, if you're not blowing, don't say Malchus at all. That's not what he meant. Ella, he said, no, of course you're going to say Malchus. There's a psukim here, you're going to say Malchus. But he then says, Lama Eser, Lema Teisha. The whole LD Ishtani, Ishtani. I don't know if anybody understands that or not. First time you're looking at it, it's a little confusing, but I'll just translate, and then we're going to go through what exactly it means. But he's going to say, Lama, why 10? 10 what? 10 psukim with Malchios. Why 10 psukim with Malchios? Just say 9 psukim with Malchios. The whole LV Ishtani, because since you've already changed, and you're mentioning Malchus without Tkiyah Shofar, so therefore, say Malchus, but say a 9 bracha, a 9 psukim Malchus instead of a 10 psukim Malchus. What? Okay. What does it mean? What does it mean? Just because, according to Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri, he says, I'm not going to blow Shofar, what does that have to do with taking off the 10th pasuk from the 10 psukim that are quoted in Malchus? So that really is going to be the format, or the jump-off point, for we're going to look at the structure of the Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf and try to solve, and the Rav does solve that question and brings this Gemara, makes it explainable. So the other sources on this page just showed you, it was just bringing certain makos for Avos, Gvuras, and Kedushas Hashem. It's actually from that same Tehillim Chavtet. And then the other side there was Minayin Shomer Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. I guess I brought this down just as, again, as a, just a side point, that there is a, and then Rabbi Elezer quotes a pasuk, Vayikra Chaf Gimel, quotes 4 different phrases. It says Shabbason, Zichron, Trua, Mikrei Kodesh. And he uses every one of those phrases to teach you a different bracha in the Musaf Shmoneh Esrei. He learns Shabbason is Kedushas Hayom, Zichron is Zichronos, Trua is Shofros, and Mikra Kodesh teaches you Kachira Basias Malacha, And then Rabbi Akiva learns those 4 psukim a little differently. Rabbi learns something else. Rabbi Yossi learns something else. So again, another. If I had time, I would try to understand, you know, why Rabbi Akiva, you know, why each one is learning a different pasuk to learn the same thing, probably bringing something different, probably something in the thematically there in the context that makes it more appropriate for the themes maybe of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. I'm not sure, for a later study. But it seems here that and this is what Rashi looks at more at this Gemara, and this is the side point I wanted to bring down. Rashi seems to look at this and say, Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, based on a psukim, seems like it's Doraisa. It would say that it's Doraisa. The Ramban says, is bothered by that pshat, because it seems to be a Feirish Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Dalid, the next source on the page, and it mentions the following case. Shtei Ayras, there are 2 cities. Va'achas Tokin, Va'achas Mevarchin. One has a shofar, and if you go there, you can hear shofar, but they don't have a machzer in that place, so you're not going to get the brachos. You're not going to get the brachos of Machzir, Zichronos, and Shofros. So, what should you do? But and the other city has a machzer, so you can get the brachos, but they don't have a shofar. So where should you go? Should you go towards the shofar, or should you go to the place with the machzer? So the Gemara says, it's pshita, hochel machin shel token, vein hochel machin shel mevarchin. Pshita, of course you should go to the one that has the shofar. Hada araisa, hada rabbanon. Seems very clear that the brachos are only derabanan. So lo tzricha, and so the Gemara would say, no, you needed this one because even if it's just a suffek, if they had a shofar versus a vadai derabanan, go to the suffek d'oraisa versus the vadai derabanan. That's the Gemara over there. But what is Rashi, who wants to say, or looking at the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, was more influenced by our first source, where it seems that the brachos are d'oraisa. So they, again, I've heard that Rashi would say that you know when the brachos are d'oraisa, when it's combined with the shofar. When you have the brachos, say, I'll say the tkiyah, I'll say the habrachos, so that raises up the brachos to a level of d'oraisa. But here, when you only have brachos alone without the shofar, so even Rashi would agree that the brachos would only be on the level of derabanan. Again, so, just so, a side point.
Rashi and Chumash on Zichron Trua.
Zichron Trua, correct. Okay, and Vayikra in Zichron Trua, he says, he brings out the psukim of, he brings out Gemara, our Gemara of Rosh Hashanah Lamed Bet, and says that the psukim are deraisa. Excellent. Okay, so now, if we have our main, let's just review our main question, was what does it mean, what was Rabbi Akiva's question on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if you're knocking off shofar, you, who've put Malchios now into the third bracha of Kedushas Hashem, you're going ahead and knocking off shofar. So Rabbi Akiva says, you can knock off shofar, knock off a pasuk for Malchios too. What does that mean? So, and then also we can ask more questions. Why did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri not do shofar? You know, why did he drop shofar? And you know when he said, and then what allowed him to say shofar in Kedush, to blow shofar in Kedushas Hayom? So some things that we're going to think about. Now I wanted to go to.
Does anybody talk about the language of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, where he says, "Said brachot amar avot vorot kedushas Hashem v'kolel malchiot imahen"? It seems like
imahen means with
not all specific.
Imahen. Yeah,
I think you can throw it into
any one of three. But I think it's they say, let me, because the Gemara says.
You have to get it out of the way, but
I for some reason I just remember everyone saying that he combines it with Kedushas Hashem. I mean, that was the flow that I saw. So
if I could just ask one more question, about when Rabbi Akiva says Lema Tesha, then they were showing him say that Tesha just means that Esther is Lav Dafka, and Rabbi Akiva wasn't advocating for 9 per se in the Havamina. It could be anything other than 10, meaning whoever ishtani, you don't need 10, you could do whatever you want. Or the Rav understood Lema Tesha as Davka 9,
right,
as
correct,
opposed to 10.
The latter. Okay. So the Rav, we're going to see that he meant exactly, right. He didn't say, somehow it becomes less important, now we can do whatever we want with the psukim.
Okay.
It's not, he's not going in that direction. He's actually going to make a distinction between the 10th brach, the 10th pasuk, and the 9 psukim that preceded. So let's see if we can, what I'm going to try to do is try to say it outside, maybe together, as we look through the next two double-sided pages, which is just photocopied Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, and then we can see it inside, perhaps if we still have time, from I'm sure Shurkin from Hari Kedem at the end. But I think we can. So at the time, not only are we going to talk structure, I'll try to throw in a couple of, you know, whatever, maybe thematic things that I maybe heard too. So let me answer the question of possibly what was pushing Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to go one way and Rabbi Akiva to go the other way. So the Rav wanted to say in one place in Rav Shurkin's article, and I guess we can see it inside. Let's go to the very last page. I'm sorry for jumping, but that's probably the only thing I wanted. I know you think that you think it's, if you jump around it makes it a better shear. But the very last page, the very last paragraph that I underlined, and his idea was, do you know what was forcing Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? He says, once you mention HaMelech HaKadosh, you've already mentioned Malchios there once. That's the first time you mention it. So he felt, Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvos. Don't, that's going to be the push, according to Rabbi. Once you mention that, so that's going to be the net, because you can do it in two places. You can mention Malchios, so therefore, since that's the first place that HaMelech HaKadosh, Malchios is mentioned, that should be flowed naturally right into Malchus. That's why he put it with Kedushas Hashem. Okay, so that was one answer. What I heard from
Rabbi Akiva's response to Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvot.
If that was, he doesn't. He doesn't to say what would be. possibly the if that's not the Nekuda Samachlokes, I heard from again Rav Miller quoting when he heard the Rav, he thought possibly that the Machlokes was the following, and it connects into the last words of the Haftorah in this past week, where it says Bitach Ishena. In its time I will hasten it. So what does it mean? In time of Mashiach, it says it has a set in its time, there's a set time, and then I will hasten. So is it a set time, or does it come early? So you know the Gemara mentions that they explain that if you did, most people explain that if you did, there's a set time for Mashiach to come. But if we do tshuva, right, then it could come, then it can hasten. It could come earlier. So what he wanted to explain was that there's two ways. If we're talking about Malchios now, where Malchios should go, there's two ways that the end of time might unfold. It might unfold that we do our part. We are a model nation, and you know, live our lives according to tzedek and mishpat, and influence the whole world, and to call out in shame Hashem. If that happens, that's one model, right? And then and Mashiach could come. There'll be another way. Let's say the world doesn't recognize Hashem, and it's time. The Rambam says it's actually he holds. You know, again, it's a machlokes tanaim, but he says the world will not be nigal ella b'tshuva. How is that tshuva going to happen at the end? It's going to be a little bit more of a forceful tshuva. It's going to be of a gilu shchina, of Hashem revealing Himself. You know, and again, gilu shchina without hachana. If you look in Tanakh, a lot of times there's a magefa, but that will be such a gilu shchina that you know Hashem will, and then we'll do tshuva. And that will be the end of days. That will be the geula. But there's two ways to do that. So maybe if you look at, according to how Rav Miller explained in the name of the Rav, that might explain. If you look at the brachos in Shemone Esrei right here, page 2, look at the sentence of Chen Tein Pachtecha. The very beginning of this third bracha is talking about the type of end of days, which is Hashem revealing, not us doing our job, but Hashem forcing His revelation on us. And that's what he wanted to say, the difference between Pachad and Yira. Yira is an awe, is an intellectual awe. You recognize Hashem and you're in awe of Hashem. Pachad is just a panic, fear to the bones, deer in headlights, you know, just. But that's the type of, you know, maybe of Pachad that might occur if Hashem reveals Himself and forces the Geula on us. And so maybe Rav Yochanan ben Nuri felt that might be possibly the track of Malchios. How are we going to get to Malchios? We're going to get to Malchios through this Pachad track, through this track of which is mentioned in Kolel in this third bracha of Shmon Esrei, and that's why he put Malchios into the third bracha Shmon Esrei. While Rabbi Akiva says, look at Kedusha Sayam, Ahavta Asanu V'Ratzisa Vanu. We're doing our part. Maybe it's more Ava and Ritzui, and maybe we come to recognize Hashem, and maybe that's how Malchios will come apart, and maybe that's better to, you know, and that's why he wanted maybe put Malchios into Kedushas Hayom, which would be a more positive way to bring about Malchios. So that was maybe a possible idea that I heard. So let's continue Sure.
The Pachtecha is our Koma Asecha, that's a worldwide.
Correct.
Numbers. There are people out there that are beyond, you know, so they can only be reached by Pachad,
right?
But Atava Chartan Mikol Amim is referring Dafka to those in the loop.
Right. Okay. You know, again, it's an idea, and then we have to think about it more. What, again, was pushing this machlokas between what was pushing Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, and it could have been, you know, the first reason of Ein Mavirin Al Mitzvos. Maybe that was what was pushing. Okay. So you, on this page, next. So we see, so let's talk about the structure I pointed out that on the first page 329 where it talks about there Hamelech HaKadosh, that's where Rav Yochanan ben Nuri would say the psukim of Malchios, but he wouldn't blow shofar at that time. Now, what do? We have next, after the first three brachos, we start with Kedushas Hayom, and we are going to combine, Rabbi Akiva is going to combine Kedushas Hayom with Malchios. But now, what I wanted to do is jump to Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, and show you the structure. Probably this is known to many of us, that each one, Malchios, Zichronos, Shofros, has a certain structure. What is that structure? First, and I labeled it one, is the statement of the theme of either Malchus or Chronos and Shofros. So I put a one here. We're going to state the theme of Malchus. And then what's going to be two? Two is we're going to quote Psukim to prove this statement. We're actually going to quote three Psukim from the Torah, three from Ksuvim, three from Nevi'im. Why Ksuvim before Nevi'im? Some people want to say it's a chronological thing because all the Ksuvim Psukim are coming from Tehillim, from David HaMelech, came earlier than the Nevi'im. Other people say maybe the Nevi'im are talking about extending this concept and again into the future, so maybe we should end with the Nevi'im. Even though normally you say Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, let's do Nevi'im less because that will be a lead-off, those Psukim into the future. But we're going to bring three Psukim from each to prove this idea. We come back again with a 10th pasuk from the Torah, and we're going to look at that very carefully. And then what we're going to then after doing that's part one, that's part two, or 2A, 2B, 2C, from the three from Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, and Nevi'im, and then the part three of every bracha is a it's sort of like a bakasha, it's a request now, a tefillah to Hashem, that we should now, we've stated this idea, we've proved this idea, now please, Hashem, implement this idea of Malchus now. Implement the theme of Zichronos now, of Shofros now. So let's just see that through and through. Let's go look. And maybe I'll just point off a few things as we go along. So you see that the theme of Malchus starts off with Aleinu. This is going to be the statement. So Aleinu, and then followed by Alkein Nekaveh, is also the theme. But there's a difference between those two paragraphs, and it encompasses the theme of Malchus. Aleinu is a recognition that we are going to want to recognize Hashem, and it's dealing towards of Bnei Yisrael's recognition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, and we recognize it, and then we say Shehem Ishtachavim. The world doesn't yet recognize as Hashem, but we Korim Ishtachavim Modim Tnei Melech Machayim Lachem. We recognize Hashem, but if you go on to Alkein Nekaveh, that's not the mission of stop right there. Is that we are and what's our relation to the world? We hope and we pray and we're trying to work towards a time not that only that we recognize Hashem, but that the whole world calls out and recognizes Hashem. And that's the second paragraph of Malchus, of the statement of Alkein Nekaveh. And if you look in Alkein Nekaveh, I underline B'chol Bnei Ba'asar Yikru Shmecha, all this Kol, Kol Rishay Aretz, Kol Yoshrei Tevel, Kilachatecha Kol Berach. Not only the Jews are going to be bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the whole world is going to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's our statement of Malchus. Then, right there, it's all one paragraph, but really 2A is going to now start in the middle of Kakasu B'Sorasecha, and now we're going to quote three Psukim that talk about this idea of Malchus. 2B is going to talk about three Psukim from, I said, Ksuvim, that are going to also talk about Malchus. And I just wanted to jump off again on an idea that I saw in what's those white books from, or like Rev Schreiber? Schreiber, I think, has summed up some of the notes of the Rav. So in one of those, on Yom Kippur, he talked about this Tehillim, and he made some points. First of all, some of us have heard Ki Lashem HaMelucha UMoshel Bal Goyim. We know that the Gra has mentioned already this. What's a Melech and what's a Moshel? And I think he says it when the brothers, Yossi's brother says, HaMalok Timloch Aleinu, HaMashol Timshol Vanu, meaning, and he says this, what's the distinction? A Melech is someone who is willingly accepted upon, you know, the people willingly accept the melech. A moshel is a ruler, but he rules by force, not by the willing assent of the people. And that's why the brothers were saying, "Hamelech timloch aleinu." You want it? You think we're going to agree for you to being a melech? Hamasholtim shalvanu. You know, it's going to be more of a moshel. It's going to be more of a force. And but then again, that's the same thing. Ki lashem hamlucha. Now we want to accept them, but you know, accept them as a melech. Umoshel b'gayim. But however, you know, at this point in time, the rest of the world, the goyim, only accept Hashem. You know, as a moshel, not as, you know, they're not willingly accepting him. But now, if you look at the next psukim, he pointed out certain, and I underlined certain words. So what did I want to? It says v'nema sushom rosheichem v'hinasu pistei olam. So I wanted to compare. What's the difference between a sha'ar and a petach? So a sha'ar is a gate, and the petach is an opening. Is an opening. So he wanted to say, the Rav said in these notes, that there are certain societies, and I don't do it justice. I mean, he's so flowery and so poetic, so I apologize. But he was saying that there were certain countries, Russia, China, certain philosophies, Marxism, that it's a shar, it's a gate. Hashem doesn't enter into this land. It's a land that doesn't accept Hashem into it. There are other countries, maybe Western countries, where it's a Pesach, there's an opening. But it's not a very big opening. I mean, we might have religion in the West, in America, but it's a lot of times it's confined, you know, to the church, you know, to the ceremonies and religious ceremonies that happen in that house of worship. But has it really spread out to the whole, you know, to everything, you know, to the whole world and every aspect outside of the synagogue and church? So that's how what he wanted to mention between Shara and Pesach. But then you look at it and it says, the next phrase, one is, the first time around, it's v'hinas'u p'tchei olam. By the second time around, it says su'shom r'shechem usu'u p'tchei olam. So what's the difference between v'hinas'u and usu'u? So again, he wanted to say that the su'u is the people themselves making the opening. V'hinasu b'tchei olam is more of Hashem opening and forcing the opening upon it. So the first lines were, again, how does the person, you know, climb this mountain of Hashem, live in this world, do accomplish malchus? Well, he has to, you know, come to those ideas and recognize that Hashem is, you know, over the physical world. Hashem is over this our moral world. But in the beginning, the gates are closed, or it's a very narrow opening, and it's v'hinasu b'tchei olam. Hashem is like opening it up and forcing it open. By the second time around, it's usu p'tchei olam. It's again, we've improved, and maybe we, the people themselves, are opening up the Pesach. Another way he saw that the second lines, when it repeats itself, is a more expansive and a more accepting people of Malchus. He said also the first time around, it says mizeh melech kavod, as opposed to the second time around, it's mihuzeh. So he wants to say mizeh. Who's this? Who's God? Who's this? You know, we don't believe in him. We don't. We never heard of him. We don't accept Malchus. It's not the second time around. Again, they're more accepting. Miuzeh. Miuzeh means we've heard of God, but miuzeh, how do we have to act? How does one come to refine it and improve it and have a deeper understanding of this miuzeh, of this person, of this of who Hashem is and the malchus of Hashem? So that I thought was again maybe some bir tefillah and help us in the kavanas of that's coming Rosh Hashanah. The next time we have is to see, again, there's the three psukim from the Torah, and then they bring a 10th pasuk, Ishmael Yisrael Hashem Kana Hashem Achad. That's the 10th pasuk of Malchus. Now we come to 3, and we see what is the Kenelik Eloseinu. That's the third part where we take this idea of Malchus. We prove Malchus 3, 3, and 3, and possibly 1, and then we're going to go now and daven to Hashem and ask him, Elokeinu v'kayev v'aseinu, please be meloch kolam kolo. Please, let's have this idea of Malchus in reality in this world. And we end the bracha of. Did I? I apologize. Mine is twisted. I don't know if anybody else is twisted, but mine was. And then I turn the page. It says, Baruch Atah Hashem, and this is the combination of Rabbi Akiva of Malchios and Kedushas Hayom. You see it in the concluding, the Chasim of the Bracha. Baruch Hashem, Melcha Kol Ha'aretz, that's Malchios. And then Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron is the Bracha of Kedushas Hayom. So that's the first one. But let's see the same thing quickly again and again. And then, again, I'll point out, is now we're going to get to Zichronos. So we're going to get, the first paragraph is the statement of Zichronos. So again, what's the theme of Zichronos is a little... You know, as hard as Malchus is, Zichronos seems a little bit is even harder to explain, because how do we say Hashem remembers if we say Hashem doesn't forget? So how do you have remembering of a being that never forgets? So the explanation is that I heard. What do you mean? Zichira means that Hashem didn't just have Malchus and didn't just create the world, but Hashem. The theme of this bracha of Zichronos is Hashem is involved in the world. It's Hashkacha, Hashkacha Protis, Hashkacha Kolis, and the theme of because we have Ashkacha and we're responsible, there's a din, there's an idea of din v'cheshbon, and that's involved in this. That's the theme of Zichronos. And what we want to say is the following: if we are being judged in this bracha of Zichronos, because it's a zocher poke means Hashem is bringing an accounting right now, and that's a judgment. So then, if we live in the present and we come to Hashem right now in the present, no one can stand in din. No one can justify every time all their kochos, you know, that were completely, you know, sanctified l'shem shamayim. So what do we say? We say, We're diving for Zichronos. We're saying Hashem. We're not saying remember. What it means is Hashem use this power of Zichronos. Because what does it mean by Zichronos? We said, how can you remember if you don't forget? We know you can't forget. We know you're above time. Past and future are all the present for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what we're saying is judge us now in the present through your vision. Through your vision that you understand the past, and our past is going to rely a lot on our avos. Either zechus avos or our desire to continue a life that was set as an example for the avos, and we almost looking for the future and our desire when we're doing tshuva and we're saying to Hashem we're going to do better and we're going to try to do more, act in a way that we should act. So judge us now, Zichronos is saying, taking us through the lens of the past and the future, and that's what Zichronos and the theme of the Zichronos is saying. So he's saying, "Ain shechalos neki sefer dechad." You don't. That's the you don't forget the past. But so fema beat that sof kol darot. You're looking in the future too. So we're telling tavi chok zikron lipakei kol ruach v'nafesh. When you're going to be given accounting of kol ruach v'nafesh now, we want to use this chok of zikaron, which can combine the past and the future into this present. And again, we're going to rely a lot on the bris and say that just like Avram Avinu and sacrificed everything and would say showed that he would sacrifice everything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too we are saying we're going to sacrifice and we're going to dedicate our time and our kochos and our energies now and in the future better in the way we should. So sometimes that saying is, some people want to say Begames Noach Vava Zacharta. Noach, after what was it, 120 years that he was working and he didn't convert a single person, right? So maybe, was Noach really worthy to be saved? But maybe Hashem used this idea of Zichronos and says, look in the future. You know why maybe possibly some people want Noach was saved? Because in 10 generations in the future, there's going to be an Avram. And then Avram's going to call out B'Shem Hashem to this world. So B'Shus, what's going to happen in the future, I'm going to save now a Noach. And that's an idea that we want to say when we're coming up to be pokeid on this Rosh Hashanah and give a Yom HaDin. So we also want to be judged maybe in that light. And so that was an idea that I heard. The same thing with Vayishma Elokim es Nakasam, Vayishkor Elokim es Biso es Avram. When Paro died and Klal Yisrael cried out to Hashem, they were on the 39th level of Tuma. How Zoche were they to, for Geula at that time if they were being judged on their actions at that time? But again, if you take the Bris of Avram into account and say, look, these are the descendants, and then they have, you know, we know maybe in the future they can come to Har Sinai and they can dedicate themselves, then that can be an impetus and to be successful in, or a mechanism to be successful in judgment, and when a person is being judged by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then again, we've got the word Brisi, 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 and I underline it's, from the Nevi'im, Zacharti Lachesed Ne'urayach. This is in the time of Yirmiyahu. We're doing Avodah Zorah Gilui Urayach Shvichas Damim. We're doing major sins. But we're saying to Hashem, or Hashem said it to us, He's looking at us like our youth, our innocent youth. So take, you know, don't just judge us by presently, but take past and future into account. And I think that might explain this idea of Zichronos. So, and then, so that those are the proof texts. And now we're going to again the Bakasha to it's forward into the end of this second bracha of Zichronos. Elokeinu v'keinu v'seinu. They all start that way, and we ask him to be again Zichronos v'zichron tov v'hanecha. Let's actualize this. But look, where is the 10th pasuk by Zichronos? I never noticed this. The 10th pasuk of Zichronos is in this part 3. Is in the Bakasha part of the of Zichronos. It says, look at Pasuk 10, it says that's where it is. The Zecharti Lam Bris Rishonim, and it's mentioned there. Zochar Bris. So that's where it is. Let's look again in Shofros. Again, Shofros, I'm just going to quicken up because it's already getting late. So Shofros, the theme is going to be, it doesn't mean just Shofar. Shofar is connected to Gilui Shechina. We're going to have Psukim there to talk about, the first Psukim talk about Gilui Shechina from Har Sinai. The middle Psukim, the end Psukim talk about Gilui Shechina in Yemos HaMashiach. The middle Psukim are going to talk about Gilui Shechina in the Migdash, which was at the time when that was probably the most, you know, a vehicle for the Gilui Shechina. However, let me just say one more point here. Look at the bottom. He studied it so, I mean, you just flow. Look at this at the end of the page when it talks about 2b, where after he says the three psukim from Ksuvim, and then all of a sudden there's a fourth group of psukim. Right here, I say, why the fourth? All of a sudden it's Venemar, and we start doing Halyu, Alu, El Bekacho, Alu, Bekeru, Uzo. We start doing all of Tehillim, the last Tehillim in the last Kufmem, Kufnun. So what's that doing there? So someone said that the Gilu Shechina has a Mechayev of Shira. If there is Gilu Shechina, so a person has an obligation then to sing out to Hashem. So someone wanted to explain it at that point. We're talking about, I don't understand why it's only necessarily that one and not a little, you know, after all Noam Psukim, but at least here when we're talking about Gilu Shechina, so they said maybe we add some extra Psukim in here, Tehillim Kuf Nun, because just like they sang Shira at Yamsuf, we have to sing Shira when we're mentioning the Gilu Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then it comes to the end. Again, we're summing it up. That would be part 3, Elokeinu Elokei of a saint. Oh, Bishofar Gadol. So I wanted to say Bishofar Gadol was the ram that was caught by the Akedah. So rams don't have symmetrical horns. They have a bigger horn and a smaller horn. And the Medjur says that the smaller horn was blown at Har Sinai, and the bigger horn is going to be blown in Yemos HaMashiach. Again, because Hashem revealed himself to Am Yisrael, even though at that time the world had some effects on the world. But we're waiting for a time where, again, where the Gilui Shechina to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's again, us at Har Sinai, will then be expanded to all of the world, and that's the Shofar Gadol. Number 3 again, Elokeinu v'Kei Avoseinu. We're now saying Bakasha and Tefila. Let's actualize this idea of Shofros of Gilui Shechina. And again, Pasuk 10 is in the
section
of the Bakasha aspect of our framework.
So do you have the answer? No.
So why? Okay. So now let's go back and let's say. So it seemed like the Rav is going to explain, and then we'll see it inside. This is what goes. You say the statement, and there's the statement of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. Then what you're going to do is bring proof text to that statement. Really, all you need for the proof text is 9 psukim, not 10. You don't need 10 psukim for a proof text. Take 3 from Torah, 3 from Nevi'im, 3 from Ksuvim, you've proven your point. The 10th pasuk is really, as it is in Zechronos and Shofros, it's in the Bakasha aspect. And we're saying, now when we want to actualize it, we're turning to Hashem and say, now actually, you yourself have said we should actualize, you know, it should be actualized. You said it in your own Torah that this idea should be actualized. And so when we pray for it to be actualized, we quote a pasuk as a Bakasha, not as a proof text, but as the Bakasha aspect that we ask him to actualize that idea. Why couldn't... Okay, here, let's go back. Now let's go back. Why couldn't it be Shema be put into the third bracha? So the Rav says, really it should have been in the Bakasha aspect. But if we look at the bracha of Malchios, where was it? Elokeinu Kelev Asenu, right? Melocha kolam kulo b'chadecha. I underline that. Look up on top on the following page. Wait, what do you say on Ma'ariv, Shachas, and Mincha? On every tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, you say these exact words. This is the paragraph of the bracha of Kedushas Hayom in Ma'ariv, and Shachas, and Mincha. Elokeinu kelev asenu melocha kolam kulo b'chadecha. Elokeinu kelev asenu melocha kolam kulo b'chadecha. So Chazal have already taken this paragraph, right? Word for word, to the very end, where it says, that whole paragraph we say in Ma'ariv on Rosh Hashanah, in Shachris on Rosh Hashanah, in Mincha on Rosh Hashanah. So the Rav said, since Chazal already were attacking that paragraph with that bracha without the pasuk of Shema, because we don't need the Bakasha then, that's only in the Malchus, Zechonos, and Shofros that we take those ideas and add a 10th pasuk in to help our bakasha. In the other places, it's just the bracha of the Kedusha Sayam. Since that already was matakein as the nusach for that paragraph, here too, they didn't want to change it. So they put it, they left the same paragraph for Malchios, but what did they want to do? They said they want to get the 10th pasuk in, but they couldn't put it in the paragraph, so they added it right before the paragraph. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. So it's not like it's written in this machzor. What did the Rav instruct his Baal Tefillah to do? Look on the page over here after we finish two of Malchios. We bring three proof texts. He says after the 9th proof text, the Chazan should say, ay, 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 stop. And then, that's what it, and then take a deep breath and say, don't stop. He's saying combine Shema with Elokeinu Lev Seinu, because really it belongs in that bracha. That 10th pasuk is not a proof text. As we saw, the 10th pasuk for Shofros and Zechronos was not a proof text. It was included as a bakasha into the last bracha. So now, we're not going to get to see Rav Shurkin inside, but now let's go back to Rabbi Akiva and we can answer our whole question. Our whole question was, what did Rabbi Akiva say? He turns to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and he says, and this will finish, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you are taking the Shemoneh Esrei, right? And you're taking Malchus into the third bracha, and you're not blowing shofar. You know why you're not blowing shofar? I know why you're not blowing shofar. Because shofar, again, this was a previous thing, we said that shofar was a form of bakasha, was a form of tefillah, right? We mentioned it was a non-verbal crying out. We see we can dive into Hashem, we can cry out to Hashem verbally, and then sometimes we don't even have words and we just use the shofar as a non-verbal form of tefillah. We discussed that in the past. So now, we say you can't, there's a rule that in the first three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, the Shevach portion of Shemoneh Esrei, you can't have Bakasha. Bakasha is not allowed in the first three portions of the first part of Shemoneh Esrei, in Shevach of Shemoneh Esrei. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva says, I understand Shofar is a form of Bakasha. You can't have it there, and that's why you drop it. But if that's the case, then also drop the 10th pasuk. Because the 10th pasuk, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, is also bakasha. The 10th pasuk is not a proof text. The 10th pasuk belongs into that last paragraph where we're davening to Hashem to actualize that potential or that concept in this world. So if we say that last pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKachad, which is part of a bakasha that Hashem should actualize His malchus in this world, not as a proof text, but as a bakasha too. So just like Shofar was not appropriate as a bakasha in Hamelech HaKadosh, in your third bracha, so too, the last pasuk would not be appropriate, and drop that last pasuk. That was the shir. It's said in Hebrew inside. If you want to wait, we can do it. Maybe if you give me 5 more minutes, we can just look in the last page of Rav Shurkin, and we can see it inside. He starts off in the second paragraph. Behutamua. The first paragraph, he quotes our Mishnah. And he says, "The Mishnah, Pasuk Asiri, Mikola Tisha Pesukim." I underline. What's the difference between the 9th and the 10th? Why is Rabbi Akiva saying drop the 9th? Okay. So then you go on, and he goes on to the next paragraph and says, really, like we said, the structure of the brachos are as follows. This really gimel chalakim. There's 3 portions. One is the tchilas habracha hu akdama hamavaret yisodot. It's going to say the theme of that thing. With malchios is malchus Hashem, zochronos is hashgacha, and shofros is gilui shchina. That's what he says. And the emtsa isa and the middle part of it are going to be amira psukim to prove it. And the last part is sima bracha gimel. That's going to be a tefillah and a bakasha to lekayem inyan oso habracha. That's how we explain. It. So now he says, it seems in now that we're in the last paragraph of the first column, says Nira the Psukim Barin Lochiach Mehatorah, the Psukim are coming to prove it. And how do you prove it? What I underline towards one, it says, Gimel Psukim Mikom Makom, that proves it. The Im Kain Minadin, what should really be the case? Shitil Rak Tisha Ala Brachah. Everyone should only have 9 proof texts, 3, 3, and 3, and we proved it. Gimel Gimel Okay. Vim Kain Yeshla Yain. Thank you. Mao in Yonushala Pasuk Asiri. What's the idea of this 10th pasuk? And he says, "V'nira lomar." Now I'm on the top of column 2. The bemet ain ha pasuk arshi shaych l'seid ha'arayus shel ha'am tzuusa ha'dabracha. 10 is not part of the other 9. The 10th pasuk, right? Elohum tzuraf l'chelik ha'shlishi shel ha'bracha. As we said, 10, and he proves it because you look in Zichronos and Shofros. It's in that part of it. Skip the next paragraph, and then he says, "Near the time." What was this? Why is Shema not in it? And this is the paragraph where he explains why Shema doesn't make it into that tenet, but we said it right before the paragraph. Near the time, ki berchus malchios, he atzma berchus kedusha seyam shor Rosh Hashanah. Shomim gam ba'arvish shachlis u'mincha. We say that paragraph, the other davenings in Shema. Mekeven shesim habracha ba'arvish shachlis u'mincha. Einu b'pasuk shel malchios. We don't add Shema Yisrael in that paragraph. There was no need. So Chazal also, when they were talking Musaf, they didn't change the matbeya of the bracha. And therefore they kept the siyum the same. And therefore they, however, wanted to put the pasuk right before the paragraph. And this is where he says, where he mentions the next paragraph, Alpidvar of Elu, this is where how he told his chazan to act. Hayar Rabbeinu Noheg, Shachazan Yisayim et Atishra Psukim Shal Malchus, finish the 9 psukim, Ve'az Yen Again Hanigun HaMesayim, and sing an ending tune, right? And then wait. Right, Yomer Apostle Kasiri, then say Shema Yisrael Shema Kemoshad, over Torah Kazul Lemor Shema Yisrael, say that Pasuk, Kedeshito, it's Philus, Elokeno Makeo Vosenu, Moloch Kolam Kuloshu, Kela Kabakosho, it's Philus Malchus. Take Shema Yisrael and attach it to Lokeno Makeo Vosenu, don't take Shema Yisrael and attach it to the 9 Sukkim that came before it. Next paragraph just wants to say actually one of the Bakosho we use in Shofros actually mentions a chatzrosros and not a shofar. So some people said maybe that's not a great pasuk to use. But again, the pasuk was also just as the terms of a bakasha. So for a bakasha, for gilui shchina, chatzrosros was just as good as shofar. So there was no need to change. And then he explains.
Shema Yisrael doesn't have melech in it either. I don't know if that.
Oh, so
that.
No. So actually, people say no. The same thing
there,
that we said
no
in our later
reference.
The
to,
same
thing.
Shem's
in, Melech in the
yes,
Torah.
It is. Because if you understand, how does Rashi understand Shema Yisrael Hashem Hashem Achad? He understands it just like we explained in the Aleinu. We say Shema Yisrael Hashem Shehu Elokeinu Hashem who is at this time our God Hashem Achad Hashem in the future will be Achad in for the whole world. So it does sum up the same theme that we of the Aleinu and the Alkei Nekaveh, which is the statement theme of Malchios. This paragraph, next one says, so why did Rav Yochanan ben Nuri not blow in Kedushas Hashem? So he says, "Dine kamilan the halach in tefillah she'asu levakeish sachav b'gimel harishonos." So that's why he couldn't blow. And then, if you look down, me'atah lefi zeh, and this will end. Me'atah lefi zeh, asi shape heite divrei Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva now makes his question on Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Makes perfect sense. Shama Shim ain't token Lamalchios. If you're not gonna blow when you mention Malchios in Kedushas Hashem, because the Kedushas Hashem, Lama Maska Eser, Nema Tishra the whole dish. Okay, why? Tadid Barha Sha Pasukari Siri, we've already explained that the 10th Pasuk, Chelek Mikola Tishra Chaluk, it's separated, Mikola Tishra Psukim, Vikaro, and the 9th, the 10th Pasuk is not in its essence Shayach Lechelek HaRashov. It's not part of the Rayos of the other 9. Elhu Shayach Lechelek HaBakasha Shal HaBracha. It's tied into the Bakasha aspect. Vim Kain, Asi Shaper HaDamar Le Rabbi Kiva. Shim Ein Token Begim HaRishonos. If you're not going to go blow shofar, because it's not appropriate to say Bakasha now, don't say the 10th Pasuk, which is also a Bakasha.